Tech of Sports, episode 29 for October 10th, 2012. Don Miggs of the band Miggs. This week on the Tech of Sports, Don Miggs. Netcast Studio mobile apps are a great way to receive our content on your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android. And don't forget the Stitcher Radio app. Works on all iOS devices. Stitcher Radio. It's an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone and tablet. Stitcher, it's smart radio for your smartphone. And the Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. Tech of Sports is also a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. You can join us usually every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific at netcaststudio.com/live. And you can join the chat room and listen to the show live as it airs. This show was not aired live, but we have it nonetheless. And while normally we talk to people really involved in the sports and technology industry, we're going to talk to maybe a little bit of an outsider today, but he's got some great views, and he's a great guy, and it's Don Miggs. His band Miggs is zooming up the charts. He's on a national tour right now. He's a great guy. He's a sports fan. He's a technology fan, and he's got some great views, and we're even going to talk about his relationship with Lindsay Lohan. So if that's not a reason to listen to this podcast, maybe it'll jog some memories that Lindsay Lohan was in a video for this band. So the website is www.miggsmusic.com, and we're going to talk to Don Miggs. And sound quality is not as great as it usually is. I recorded this when I was doing an interview for him for another publication, but I thought it'd be great to air live. So it's a little rough in parts, but give it a listen. It's worth it. And here comes Don Miggs.
With these shows that you're doing right now. You got that right.
It's a fun room, but I always dread those stairs for sure.
I hear that from other people too. Yeah.
Then we get myself in a good spot where I can make sure that this, I think I have pretty good here. The new thing about this tour with Kellogg and the Sixers is that they are certainly a little more Americana, I guess, than we are. So it's going to allow us to see that when you're playing with them, more of a rock band, it's hard to do. And it allows us to show the products that we really like. So, I mean, I'm actually going to have my ukulele out. We'll probably have a banjo trial, like a banjo out. Do some acapella stuff, so we're hopefully going to dust off some songs that are from the first album, and then do a bunch of new albums. Hope that our job is to sort of ready for most people will still be trying to manage to do a Christian Kellogg, and our job is to win over the fans. And so hopefully, I would like to act like I'm going to go to church, you know? So that's what I'm trying to do. Get him in the heart, in the mind, in the feet, the crotch, if I can.
Absolutely. It looks like your tour right now is pretty ambitious. You guys are going everywhere, it looks like.
Yeah, you know, it's, that's the game, right? Our job is to take it to the people, and we're in a different sort of time that for a while there, where the internet was for everything. That's where it happened. You have these overnight successes on the internet, and that's not us. And we didn't just tour endlessly for the last 10 years either. So we've done 150 days a year before that. We haven't toured in 10 months or something like that because we made an album, and then what we did is we're going to do a little both on the internet. And the whole social media aspect, and now we want to get out there and take it to people because it's a different experience live versus on record, you know? And we want to make sure people get to hear it. That's the only way to do it. Get into the car and drive.
You're right. There's no substitute for hearing somebody live. And talk about how the game has kind of changed with social media and how that's kind of, you know, changed over the years you guys have been together, and what that whole process means to you guys.
Well, it's obviously super important to have visibility and a voice that people can believe and touch that isn't live. So it's funny, we have a lot of fans, which really different now, and you know, we're a 10-year overnight success, and we're just now signing with a major label, and we're now having the best success we've had. But the game now is, you have some people who are, they're like pen pals almost, because some of them never come out to a show, and they'll get in a place where you're never going to see them. They're not going to come. We don't get to pick a candidate very much. You know, like, we may get some clothes, but some of these people just don't actually get out to shows. Even if, my gosh, Florida, we're doing the date. Play Tampa, we're going to play Orlando. Well, if you're in Jacksonville or Miami, then you're not going to get to see me. But you can still experience me because we're the ones talking to you on the internet. We're the ones on Twitter, on Facebook. And we're also now going to be doing, you know, with your stream, more staging. We're going to, you know, do internet concerts and there's podcasts, whatever else. So there's a million ways to touch people now that you couldn't. Or they either make it to the venue, or they get, now you can touch them in a really different way. The problem with that is everybody's doing the same thing. So you've got to find a new way to get the chat if you really want to have fans and have that sort of lasting identity.
Sure. And talk about YouTube in particular and how fans maybe that never would have known who you were or never would have heard you or seen you before, kind of maybe stumble upon you on YouTube and become fans. Does that happen quite a bit?
Yeah, YouTube is a fascinating thing to me because, I mean, you can literally find anything you want out there, right? It doesn't mean much to say. You can, there's no shortage of things for the content, right? So, what's interesting about YouTube is we've certainly gained a lot of fans who didn't want to see Lindsay Lohan and something, and then all of a sudden it's a big video.
Right.
Or they put in, I don't know, robots or the word perfect they saw sometimes. So YouTube really sort of changed the game for a lot of people. What's fascinating to me are the things that really resonate. And we haven't done something that's resonated to that degree. We've got, you know, 200,000 people look at the video, but we haven't had that brilliant video. And sometimes it's like, you know, a cat falls out of a tree and that gets 30 million views. But that stuff, you've got to be cautious of all of that. The thing with the internet in general is when you have fans on Facebook or Twitter or any of that, you know, you don't solicit fans there so much as hope that they want to join the ride, because a lot of that security. I mean, I know people that have 500,000 fans on Twitter, and they still only bring out 60 people to a show.
Right.
Because it doesn't necessarily translate. So the idea with YouTube and Twitter and those things is to not just have people see it, it's to have them actually connect with it in a way that's more meaningful.
Sure. And I guess with YouTube, you can expose yourself even to fans in other countries and other parts of the world, I guess, where you guys haven't even played before.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That part, there's nothing like getting yourself somewhere in Sweden who's like, you know, my God, because of Lindsay, this is a natural one. We have a fan, this one guy, he's very, very, he's everywhere. He's always constantly in verbal with us. He said, you know, he came because he loves Lindsay Lohan. Another example, and from that, he follows every single thing we do, no matter what. And it's one particular guy, because they say that most people don't actually, they don't interact as much. They kind of just work and listen and watch. And this guy's really active about, you know, telling us on a daily basis what he thinks, and that he wouldn't have that opportunity if there wasn't explosion. So all that stuff's great. It just means you have to dress nicer now, because you never know when someone's taking you.
That's exactly right, and you never know when you're gonna someone's gonna snap a picture of you or something with camera phones and stuff now too. So
It scares that part a little bit, Rex, because you're almost have to do something that you probably that you said that would just have to do. You just have to have your guard up all of the time. It wasn't, I mean, Islam is a good example of what's just happened to him, right? I mean, I'm not a fan, but he was a valuable lesson for that, I'm sure, where it's like, hey, I want to talk, and I think I'm talking to one number of people, and the reality is talking to a lot more. So, like, we put on a show, it doesn't matter to me if there are 400 or 700. My job is to make it always feel like people are being levitated, because I never know who's watching, and you never know who's filming it. And then they're going to post it on YouTube, they're going to take a picture, and if you're not completely in the game at that moment, then that's the first exposure someone has to be, and that's the image of you forever.
Exactly. And imagine if they had camera phones back in the day of Jimi Hendrix and Elvis, and I mean, you would think of these people probably totally different than what they're thought of today.
I know, isn't it amazing? You know, maybe it's just off the subject, but you it makes me think of, you know, everyone from John F. Kennedy to Jimi Hendrix to take those examples and then go into baseball. Take Babe Ruth and Barry Bonds. And most of the difference between those two in terms of being a good boy or a bad boy was the media. Because they both did. I mean, Babe Ruth, he couldn't drink more. Mickey Mantle was drunk almost every day at one point as he got older. He said it, he came out and said how terrible he felt that he did that. But the media wasn't on him the same way it is with somebody like Barry Bonds or Josh Hamilton, with his drinking and drugs. It's like, that's been going on forever. Everyone thinks of someone like Billie Holiday. He says, oh, she was great. No, she was a heroin addict. She was a junkie. She's no different than Whitney Houston, except Whitney Houston has to do it in a much more visual age.
Sure. But you're a big sports fan there, Don. That's great.
Oh my God, I'm a huge baseball fan, and I happen to love all sports, but baseball is probably my biggest, and basketball, really love both of them.
Who's going to be your pick to win the World Series then?
Well, I'm from New York, and I always hope for the Yankees, but what I always hope for when I think of the Yankees too is that they're not going to just buy it. Like, I've never been a fan when they bring in, like, Jason Giambi or anyone like that. I've always been a fan of their homegrown talent the most. And I was still like, they could sort of seen in a long life. That was the dumb things I'd say. Buy the contract for somebody who is really going to help them. It's just going to make the player too more fancy. But I'm a Yankee fan. Long way to tell you that's what I am. But I'm having my doubts that I'm going to be able to get this year. Baltimore just looks strong and hungry. So we'll see what's going to happen there.
Yeah, I think so too.
Who are you a fan of?
Well, I'm from Milwaukee originally, even though I live in Atlanta. So I'm a Brewer fan, and we're going to come up a little short this year, but we've had a bunch of injuries. So.
Yeah, you've had a tough go. I'm always with like Justin Milwaukee, where, you don't have the same resources. It's not apples to apples. But what they prove, teams like Oakland are proving in Cincinnati that, and Philadelphia, for example, that the money doesn't win the game. It's the same with music, It's funny to me because what makes a band great, and I feel like I'm in a great band now, and it's not because we're the greatest player, and it never is. I think the greatest combination that works, like you two, they're not necessarily the greatest players at all, but the combination of the four of them makes a sound that can't be duplicated. And that's the reason why, like, the Who always resonates with people. But you don't see people responding to go see Ross Dalton's solo, or even Pete Townsend's solo, because there's something about the combination of the two that makes it happen. And that's with any good team or any good organization. Not about the individual, it's about the collective.
Yeah, I speak to a lot of musicians and I get to talk to a lot of athletes too, and And there's a lot of similarities between musicians and athletes as far as how they go, how they look at performing and how they look about perfecting their craft. And there's a lot of parallels between the two different disciplines, really.
Well, you know what, but the bottom underlying discipline is no different than what you do for a living, right? It's just you have a drive to report something. I mean, I'm assuming it's actually, but I know that some friends with, you know, Brian Davis, and I know a bunch of players, and the friends of Stuart Scott, you know, and he has this thing sort of drive, like he's an athlete. It's an underlying thing about wanting more and making more of yourself than maybe you're even capable of. And what comes with that is you have a healthy dose of ego and a healthy dose of self-doubt. And so you sort of find those things off. And I got to tell you, the thing that always gets me when people make comments about conditions or athletes, they're like, oh, what a life, man. I could have managed that life. I would sweat or, you know, I would complain about it. And what they don't realize, to have that life, you've got to sacrifice almost any real shred of normalcy that most people get to enjoy. If you're going to have real success, what it will do, you're going to miss funerals, birthday parties, weddings, you're going to miss birthdays, you're going to not be part of a regular society because you're trying to do something that is a step outside of it. I'm not saying it's better or worse, but it's certainly different. And the sacrifice that goes trying to be in a certain level is astounding. And my athletes might just do it. I'm in awe.
Sure. What would be the one, you've been going at it now for a decade now, Don. What would be the one bit of advice you'd give, and maybe young musicians come up to you and ask you for a little advice, what would be the one thing you would tell somebody that's just starting out that would be kind of like you now, just starting out? What do you tell them?
Well, as you can tell already, I'm not lacking in talking too much, so it probably wouldn't be one thing. But if I were to tell somebody, I would say that really the key is don't be good, be great. And that doesn't mean I don't have a lot of ability. I'm a mediocre singer, I'm a decent guitar player, I write a good song. But what I will do today, more so than I did 10 years ago, is I want it more. I'm willing to work harder than you. And I don't need to, but I mean it. That's just in general. I am willing to work harder. And I think that's the key. Enjoy the moment, but don't waste time thinking you're great. Waste your time getting better. Because at every turn, there's somebody who's working harder at it. And there's someone who wants it more. And so spend your time being that guy. That's what I would say. Because the rest of it, you know, you just get better as years go on. And 10 years in, you know, I feel like I'm at my best right now, and I don't even think I'm not even great yet, but I feel like I'm just really starting to scratch the surface of the craft of the same song I've been trying to write since I'm 8 years old. I'm just doing a better job at writing that song.
That's great advice, Don, for anyone in any profession. If you're a car mechanic or a postman or a checkout person at a supermarket, you should always try to do the best job you can. And I think that's kind of maybe where our society is lacking a little these days. And that's great advice from you. You've realized what it takes to start moving up the charts and start moving up the pecking order in music. And you're obviously following your own advice, so that's a great thing. But let's talk to you. Let's talk for just one second about, maybe you can set the record straight. You guys kind of gained a little notoriety when you had Lindsay Lohan do a video for you. And I've heard, you know, reports from you guys, or I don't know, different articles saying, you know, what a bad experience it was. It was an okay experience. You know, regardless of the fact you guys gained a little attention from it, but set the record straight. You know, what was it really like? And Are you looking for any other Hollywood starlets to be in your videos coming up?
Well, you know, I really trust that kindness, and I think it's important that for people to know that I went into that doing that video with my eyes wide open. I knew exactly what we were trying to do, and the label wanted notoriety, as you said, and we wanted to make a big enough splash that people would call and want to talk about things. What I did not realize is that by doing that, I sort of sold my soul a little bit, because that's not the kind of attention I want. I'm not interested. If I wanted that attention, my life has enough in it, and people can Google me and find out who I'm married to and the things that bond my life already. But I don't need to have Lindsay Lohan to be having sort of a sensation. And, you know, to be sensational used to mean that you're actually something great. And now it's just newsworthy. And I think that the problem with Lindsay is, there's no way to make it sound right. I think Lindsay came and did exactly what we needed her to do. She was great in the video. I think the video speaks for itself. She's great. However, I think that the way that she handled and conducted herself off screen left something to be desired. I don't think there was no humility. She wasn't thankful. She actually created some havoc on the set, said someone stole $10,000 and get the junk away from her. And I don't understand why she would have had $10,000 and get the junk away there to begin with. But, you know, it's like she doesn't look at herself with all this stuff that keeps happening to her instead of her saying, well, what's my role in it? She had all these people hanging out with her that didn't lend anything to her life. It's like, well, what are you doing there? Why are these people all out doing something on a Tuesday, 11 o'clock in the afternoon? You know what I mean? So, I wouldn't do that again. I'm not looking for a starlet for our next video. Now, having said that, would I take a starlet for our next video? Yes. If she's someone who actually likes that, if we're going to go after someone high profile, I don't want to just hear that she likes this song. I want to know that she's someone that likes it, because I don't need that. It's not that it doesn't take you any further ahead in the end. And I don't think that's disrespectful to her or to the fans that we have because of her, because we definitely have some. But I feel like I sort of sold a little of myself, hanging on her back, knowing that she liked something that would not be good for her. Because it would have gotten us a little more
safe,
and I would do that again, personally.
Yeah, good insight, Don, and you're obviously looking at the big picture, and I think you have the right perspective. And as we wrap up here, I have a couple just quick-hitting questions for you. What was the first album you ever bought? What was it?
I'm going to say, Lost My Money with the
Mac Rumors. Great album. Yeah, great album.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, my uncle who was old to me, I had no idea what that would mean. You know, you're in second grade or whatever, but I loved the album.
First car you ever owned?
First car was a Celica GT 1976 car that I bought in 1990 when I had flash on.
What did you own first, a beeper or a cell phone?
a cell phone. Never had a beeper.
Wow. Your favorite subject when you were in school?
English. I could read all day. I go to school now and I talk to English class about the importance of reading and the importance of books, writing, participating.
Excellent. And the one electronic gadget or piece of modern technology that you can't live without?
I'm holding it in my hand. It's my iPhone now.
That's what most people say, because you really, it's really almost a part of your body now, isn't it?
Well, it's sort of stuff because of how much I love my iPod and how proud I am of the 25,000 songs that I have in it. But now I have, with that, I also think my iPhone has Spotify too, so it's like the iPhone keeps it hands down.
Yeah, excellent. Don, really appreciate the interview. Now, glad you mentioned Fleetwood Mac. I'd like to hear you guys remake a Fleetwood Mac song. Since I'd like to hear you guys do a your own spin on something like Lovin' Store or a Fleetwood Mac song. I know you're not going to be Fleetwood Mac, but it'd be kind of neat to hear you guys do a little spin on that.
You know what? I would be honored, and that's a great idea. Because we also have really good harmonies, and I feel like we could do a good job. Man, I'll tell you what, that album is after perfect.
Yeah, Love in Store or Everywhere or The Chain, one of those three would be great.
You know, the first song I ever played live, fourth grade, we did Dreams.
Oh, wow.
In a talent show in. All we did was sing to the record, but still, man, we were going to play The Chain, and then we realized we didn't really play our instruments that well yet. Dreams was the first song I ever sang.
That would be great. Really, really appreciate you talking, Don. I hope everybody comes out in Atlanta on I think it's the 27th of October, and then you guys are touring almost right up until Thanksgiving, probably?
Yes, we end in New York, actually. November 12th, and then I'm going to shoot out to Paul McCartney in Houston and get my
home. Before we wrap up, I just wanted to remind everyone that Amazon.com helps bring you the show and all the shows on Netcast Studio. If you're doing any shopping on Amazon, especially with Black Friday and the holidays coming up, you can use the affiliate link here, netcaststudio.com/Amazon for all your needs. And no extra cost to you, and it helps support the studio and all the great shows that it offers. Netcaststudio.com/Amazon. We want to thank Don Miggs again for the interview. It's MiggsMusic.com is the band website. You can find out if they're coming to a town near you and about all their latest music and get their newest album. It's great. So we appreciate Don Miggs for being on tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show. Any questions, you're always free to contact me on Twitter at Rick Roswell. Netcast Studio has many other shows which may be of interest to you. Check them out. Head over to netcaststudio.com. Check out the variety of the shows. It's really amazing. And Radio CSS is our sister network. You can check out their shows as well at radiocss.com. And we'll be back again next week. You've been listening to the Tech of Sports podcast and Netcast Studio Productions.